One of the things I love to do is talk to members of Congress, both parties, about what's going on back there. Denny Heck, just elected to the U.S. House of Representatives this past November, but the guy's no novice, not by any stretch of the imagination. He was a state legislator for years. In the 80s, he was House Majority Leader and then became Chief of Staff to Democratic Governor Booth Gardner. Then the guy became the Brian Lamb of Washington State. He founded the state version of C-SPAN, TVW, made a ton of money by investing wisely and did not share his investment tips with his good friend John Carlson, so I'm still working hard for a living. He's back in the U.S. Congress beginning yet another phase of his career. Denny, how you doing?
Well, good morning, John. Did you mean by describing me as not a novice that I'm an old guy? Is that what you were really trying to say there, John?
I was avoiding the words emeritus. They don't fit a freshman very well, do they?
No, not very. Welcome back to Morning Talk Show format.
Yes.
John, I hope it's going well for you.
And welcome back to the legislative branch.
Thank you very much.
Slightly larger scale, national scale. Do you want to give me a quick 30-second summation of the difference between the Washington State House of Representatives and the U.S. House?
In addition to being 4.5 approximately times larger?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's broken, John. The U.S. House is not very functional, and it's probably fully earned its low job approval rating. And, you know, we got to figure out a way where people can sit down with one another, start talking like adults and solving some problems. It's, you know, the exhibit A of that is they sent us home for what they euphemistically called district work weeks. And to be sure, we run a schedule and work hard all week. But the fact of the matter is we are, what, 11 days away from sequestration taking effect and all of the negative consequences therein. And we ought to be back there, frankly, trying to figure out how to solve it.
Real quickly, though. Doesn't Frank Chop in the State House of Representatives basically just say, you know, that Democrats will be making the decisions here, will be making, you know, a little bit of input is fine, but quite frankly, all the major calls will be made by one party since we control the House?
Well, you're asking me to comment and analyze on a chamber that I haven't been a member of in nearly 30 years. And I hesitate to do that.
Wow, it has been that long, hasn't it?
Thanks.
See what
again.
Happens when
Thanks
you...
for the reminder again, John. See Thanks what... very much.
See what happens when you get elected at age 12 and a half?
Yes, right.
Okay, so let's talk about sequestration. Sequestration means about $86 billion from this year's budget will be cut automatically, hitting defense and discretionary spending, unless you guys come up with something better.
Exactly, and that will all occur between now and October 1st. That was the so-called sword of Damocles that hung over the Congress way back a summer ago, two summers ago, actually. It was the unthinkable. They inserted that in the Budget Control Act as a means of telling the super committee, look what will happen if you guys don't come up with a strategic long-term plan to reduce our debt. This thing will happen on October 1st of the year 2013. That's so unthinkable. We know that that will compel and motivate you to come up with a more sensible plan, but they didn't. And as a consequence, here beginning on March 1st, because the act that Congress took on January 2nd, it was supposed to take effect at the first of the year, but they delayed it until March 1st, and now it's about to happen, and it is going to have devastating consequences to our region, especially to an area like the 10th Congressional District, which includes Joint Base Lewis-McChord. I met with the Assistant Secretary of the Army last week, and she laid out some of the possibilities which are now becoming more and more real. We're talking about furloughing about 10,000 civilian defense employees for 22 days between now and October 1st. We're talking about reducing defense expenditures in our state, just for the Army portion. I'm not talking Navy or Air Force. They'll have theirs, too, by $500 million between now and October 1st. It is, I fear, recessionary-inducing for the region. Look, nobody argues that we don't have a long-term debt problem. We do, and it's a serious one, and we've got to step up to it. But I would argue we need to do it more surgically and more strategically.
Now, to their credit, the House Republicans said, well, look, if you don't like these sequestration cuts totaling $1.2 billion over a 10-year period, here's our plan.
Trillion, John. Trillion.
But what did I thought I said $1.2
trillion. I think you said billion.
Okay, $1.2 trillion over a 10-year period. I said, here's our plan to cut the same amount of money differently. And President Obama, during the State of the Union, made it clear he didn't like sequestration, and he called the Republican plan even worse. Okay, fine. What's his plan?
Well, you're asking me now to speak on behalf of the president. I have all I can do to speak on behalf of myself as a member of the Congress. But the House Democrats did pass, the week before, measures that would have avoided sequestration. And I voted for that. But the fact of the matter is, there are probably 100 ways for us to get out of this more sensibly without doing the damage to our local economy if people would but sit down and get at them.
Patty Murray is the chairman of the House or the Senate Budget Committee. So
right.
Where's her plan? If she doesn't like these cuts to Joint Base Lewis-McChord and the Whidbey Naval Air Station and a Fairchild, then what is her alternative?
John, are you really asking me that? You have such a capable executive producer there and that young man named Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have him call Senator Murray's office up?
Oh, we do.
Invite her to be on the program.
But the question's rhetorical.
I don't work for the senator. I don't work for the Senate Democrats in their communication office. I'm doing my best to work on behalf of the people
right.
of the 10th Congressional.
But you understand it's a rhetorical question. If these cuts are so unacceptable, then why aren't we seeing a steady menu of options to avoid them?
Well, John, the fact of the matter is the House Democrats did offer and vote on something to avoid sequestration last week. That's the part for which I think I should be appropriately held accountable.
Okay.
Here's what we're going to...
What do you want to do then?
I want to avoid sequestration. I want to replace sequestration with something that's more commonsensical.
All right.
And what we voted for last week would have curtailed the oil subsidies, would have had some reform in farm subsidies, and would have implemented that which we've come to know as the Buffett rule, meaning anybody who makes over $1 million a year would pay
Denny.
The same effective tax rate as middle class.
Denny, hold on a second. We did the taxes. We did the taxes in January or in late December. To avoid the fiscal cliff. So the balanced approach is we need taxes and we need spending reforms. We did the taxes, $600 billion worth. Now we need to do the spending.
John, the Budget Control Act, the one that was enacted in the not last summer but the summer before, itself contained well over $1 trillion in expenditure reduction. So it's not fair just to go back to the last one and say there was the revenue. The fact of the matter is we have done expenditure reduction, way more than on the revenue side. The fact of the matter is we got a lot more work to do on both sides, and it's going to have to be a balanced package. But, all that aside, John, we're not in Washington, D.C. sitting down trying to negotiate a solution to that. That's the problem statement here. You can't solve a problem unless you're working at it. And I frankly think it's highly irresponsible for Congress to get on the planes and head home when we are confronting, in however many days it is now, action which is going to hurt our region to the degree that this one is going to. And this isn't just an economic circumstance. The fact of the matter is the kind of arbitrary nature of these cuts, they're not strategically thought through, could compromise our national security, and that's not responsible either.
Okay. Let me play you a quick cut from Senator Rand Paul, your favorite Kentucky Republican, on the sequester budget deadline. Again, this is Rand Paul, who was just elected to the Senate in 2010.
The sequester is sort of a hammer. It was requested by the president. It was his idea, signed into law by him. So I think it's disingenuous for him to go back on it. But to put it in perspective, it's $1 trillion. But over the next 10 years, spending will go up $9 trillion. So even with the sequester, spending will still rise overall. So the sequester really is a reduction in the rate of growth of spending. It's not a real cut in spending.
Is he right?
Well, John, I think that part of what you've done there is give us yet another example of what's wrong with Washington, D.C. Senator Paul's opening statement is a blame game thing. This was the president's idea. Well, the fact of the matter is members of both political parties voted for the Budget Control Act
right. That
contains sequestration.
Right.
So to blame one party or another or one branch or another, how does that help us move the chains down the field? That's not helping. That's not what you do to get to the point where you can have an adult conversation about how to solve this problem. So, no, I'm not going to buy into that. The fact of the matter is anybody who voted for the Budget Control Act has some degree of responsibility for the circumstance we're about to confront on March 1st.
What about what I think was really his larger point, Congressman Heck, which was, yes, it's $1.2 trillion out of $10 trillion that was going to be added in federal spending in the next 10 years. So spending still goes up $9 trillion. Is he right?
The important larger point is that we do, in fact, have a debt problem. The important larger point is that we cannot ignore it. We can't play ostriches and stick our heads in the sand. The important larger point is that over the long term, we have to take those steps, painful steps, to curtail the growth of our debt, or it will consume so much of our federal budget that it will compromise our national security and certainly our ability to grow the economy.
Okay.
That's the important larger point. The short-term point, however, is if you like a recession, John, you seem to be advocating here that we ignore the problem in the short term and enter a recession. Now, John, I know you don't believe that in your heart of hearts.
No, I believe...
I know you don't want unemployment to go up by 1 to 2 million people, which is what is estimated if sequestration goes into effect. And I know you do not want to cut our economic growth rate by 25%, which is what most independent analysts project will be the case if sequestration goes into effect.
It's been cut enough over the last 4 years.
I know you do not
absolutely
want that to happen, John.
No, it's been cut enough recently. We don't need to cut it anymore.
And sequestration will cut it. We'll cut our growth rate by 25%.
Okay. So that is why I would vote, if I were back there, for the Republican spending reduction plan. It's the only alternative to sequestration. No one else is putting forth a budget-cutting plan.
John, I'm so deeply bothered by the fact that you haven't heard me say not once but twice that the House Democrats voted for a plan.
And it was for tax increases.
No, the bulk of it actually, John, was on spending reductions through tax expenditure closures and curtailing and reforming the farm subsidy program. But yes, also having revenue in the form of implementation of the Buffett rule.
By the way, I got to ask you a couple of fun questions while you're with me.
Well, what do you mean? John?
Huh?
Don't you think these have been fun?
Oh, these have been fun. But when I say fun questions, I mean off topic. Your favorite Republican back there?
Oh,
as
gosh.
A Democratic congressman.
We're gonna take some time to get to know some of the people a little bit better.
Okay.
We're just now entering the
committee phase process.
But I've enjoyed my conversations.
Who do you want to get to know better?
Andy Barr, young man from Kentucky, who is on the Financial Services Committee with me.
Okay.
I've really enjoyed him. I've been out to dinner with him, and he's a delightful young man compared to me.
And also, this is President's Day. Denny Heck's favorite president.
Oh, there's no close second. I am a traditionalist. What President Washington did when he voluntarily walked away, both from the title of king, which was offered him, and a third term, set a precedent that I think is so very, very important for our nation's heritage. What he did upon his death to free his own slaves, mm-hmm. which I, of course, wish he had done earlier, but at least he did it then. What he did in securing the nation originally as the general of our army. I'm a traditionalist.
Sure. Putting the nation ahead of power.
Yes.
Absolutely. Denny Heck, it's great having you here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. We've got to do this again.
All right, friend. You have a good day.
All right. You too. That's Congressman Denny Heck from Olympia's 10th Congressional District joining me here.